live animations aired frequently all across the world during the late 80s to early 90s, such as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Tom and Jerry, Animaniacs, and others, stood Thundercats, a children's cartoon that broke into popular culture and stood the test of time. It is widely regarded by critics and fans as the finest animation series of the last 20 years. Hello, I'm Nick Mills. Join me as we take a look into the show as we get a first-hand experience into the show's creation and legacy.
Thunder, 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 Thundercat, ho!
Thundercats first aired in 1985, telling the story of a group of part cat, part human characters, known as the Thundercats. The series began with the group's home planet, Thundera, coming to an abrupt end as the planet was destroyed by an earthquake. They soon found their home on a planet known as Third Earth, and began to build their lair. The group fought for the Thundera Code, truth, justice, honor, and loyalty, and swore to protect innocent people from many evils. Panthro, Chitara, Wile E. Kit and Wile E. Cat and Tigra were led by their leader Lion-O, Lord of the Thundercat. Their most persistent enemies consisted of the mutants from the planet Plundar, led by Slythe, and a mummy known as Mumra, the Ever-Living. Their adventures were seen in 130 episodes. Larry Kenny, the voice actor of Lion-O, described how he first began on Thundercats.
Well, I procured it the same way that I procure other jobs in my business, in the voiceover business, here in New York and elsewhere in this country. I went to an audition. My agent called one day and said, probably called me on about a Wednesday or Thursday, and said that on Monday, you will go to a certain place and you will be auditioning for, and they described the job. And they asked me to stop by the next day at my agent's office and pick up some copy, or sides as we call them, which is the script, part of the script that I would be reading. And they gave me whatever information the Rankin Bass had given them as to the characters I'd be reading for, and a little bit about them so I would know what I was reading for. And on the assigned day and time, I showed up at the place that Rankin Bass had rented to do their auditions in. And as I recall, when I got there, there were pictures hanging around the walls of the various characters, along with descriptions of the show, what the show was about, and what the character was like, and then asked, given a few minutes to look those over, and then asked to go into the recording booth and give them my interpretation of what the characters individually sounded like. I gave them a few different versions of each character. And then I went home and or on to my next job. And then a couple of days later, my agent called and said, you have been chosen to do these particular roles on the show. That's how it works.
The series aired 2 years after it was first produced all across the globe, airing on the BBC in the United Kingdom as part of its children's animation. Jeremy Graves, a longtime Thundercats fan, gives his memories of watching the show.
The way it was first set up over the course of the first few episodes, with the whole storyline of them coming from Thundera and landing on the planet, it already set the scene for lots of things that could happen in the future without really showing it. Kind of like, ooh, what are they going to encounter? So it just made me want to find out what was going to happen next. And like I say, just the overall presentation, the characters, the design of the whole show, I just loved it as a whole. It was great.
I first discovered Thundercats because my young cousins were fans of the show. It had just started showing on the BBC over here in the UK. And they'd become big fans. And I went to see them one day. I was 5 and I think they were 5 and 3. And they were really into it. And they played me their video of Thundercats Exodus, the pilot. And that was it, really. I mean, I was hooked. You know, it not like nothing I'd ever seen before. It was amazing.
That was Chris, co-administrator of ThundercatsLair.org, a popular website dedicated to the show. Ever since the show aired first in 1985, Thundercats attracted an audience of both children and adults over the past 20 years or so, mostly adults who watched as children. Even several years after the show ended, it remains popular with long-term fans. But why did people continue to tune in?
I think it was a mixture of kind of the action and adventure and the characters. I kind of related a lot to Lion-O, in the sense that he was growing and maturing and developing and learning things about life. And at the same time, he was a character that I could you know, look up to. He was the big hero, you know, the center of attention.
The episodes, which featured the regular mixture of cheesy dialogue, in-depth animation, and brilliant action, were written by a dedicated team of writers. One included Kimberly Morris, who wrote several episodes on the hit television series.
I was working for a company that produced animation, and one of our big clients was Romeo Muller, who was at that time, through the 60s and 70s, had been kind of the premier animation writer in the business. And because he was associated with the company I was working for, when Rankin Bass was looking for animation writers in New York, they called that company and asked them to suggest some writers. And among others, they suggested me. And it was just very lucky break. And I had no idea what Thundercats was until I went over there and talked to them. And then discovered I'm not sure they were actually had any produced yet at that point. I came in at the end of the first, you know, round of show episodes.
The Thundercats each had their own characteristics. Lion-O was the proud and brave leader. Panthro was the technical expert. Chitara had speed. And Tigra was the architect, the brains of the group. Wile E. Kit and Wile E. Cat were twins and were the adolescents of the group. But which character did people identify with most?
It's got to be Panthro. Just because while Lion-O was the focal point and obviously the star of the show, Panthro always kind of just gave that muscle man edge, and that always appealed to me. Like, it doesn't matter who tries to beat him up, he will just kick maximum butt. And I just love that aspect of it. And the fact that he was making all the equipment, like the machines and whatnot that they used, that always intrigued me to know more about his character, because at the time I was heavily into cars and stuff like that as well. So it was just kind of a natural character to choose, really.
Kimberly also gave her favourite characters to write for during her time on the show.
Well, obviously I liked writing for Chitara. And because, you know, there just aren't that many female action adventure heroes. And I like writing for Lion-O, and I like writing for the two kids. And those were probably my three favorites. In fact, my first script that I wrote was about the Wile E. Kit and Wile E. Cat. And that's where I learned to, you know, be very specific in your script writing, because somewhere in that episode, they open a door and a bull comes running out. And I can tell you that wasn't in the script. So I can only figure that somewhere somebody was working with some sort of literal, you know, Japanese to English dictionary, I think because they did it in Japan, and something must have translated into bull comes running out of a closet.
Larry describes the typical day of voice acting on Thundercats.
Well, Thundercats, it was the most fun thing I've ever done still in my career, mainly because the cast was such a wonderful group of people, just the most fun, professional, talented group of people, and they were fun to work with. We did Thundercats. We began taping the voices in 1983. So we were recording those shows for almost two full years before it ever went on the air. We would work 2 days a month. We would record two shows a day. So we would go in on a Thursday and record one episode in the morning and one episode in the afternoon, and the same thing the next day. And then we wouldn't work again for a month because it took the, we had a lot of time for the writers then to write more new shows, you know what I'm saying? And of course, when we first started recording the show, we were only contracted for 13 episodes because nobody knew if it was going to be a hit or not, you know. And the standard routine, at least in America, for a new show is you record 13 shows and they put them on the air. And then if it's getting good ratings, if it's a hit, then they'll order 13 more or 26 more or whatever. So Thundercats turned out to be a hit right away. As soon as it went on the air, they knew it was going to run for a long time. But we couldn't just go in and record, let's say, 20 shows in a month because the writers had to have time to write new shows, you know. Obviously, when they contracted the writers in the beginning, they only contracted them for 13 shows. So it was a process of, like I said, of recording four shows a month for a few months. And then when the new scripts were ready, then we'd start recording those. It was not a process by which we started recording and just recorded every day for months and months at all.
But the show had its criticisms. During the beginning of season two, a character known as Marmot was introduced to the show as a pet for Mumra. Many are divided as to whether the final set of episodes, along with the addition of several new characters, hindered the quality of the show.
A TV show, if they want it to continue, it has to continue in some way. And the only way you can probably do that is by changing things up, like adding a new character and whatnot. Because by doing that, you're kind of bringing in a new audience, and then they'll gradually discover what it was like before that, and then they'll get the overall picture.
I think the show did go the same way, not long after the introduction of Marmot. I don't know if I would actually say that Marmot himself was the pivotal thing to going downhill. When Marmot came in, initially, I don't have a problem necessarily with the concept of Mon-Ra having pet per se, but I think that it sort of paved the way for increasingly more bizarre things to actually appear in the series. Compared to some of the stuff that turns up right at the end of the series, the concept of Mon-Ra having a dog is actually quite pedestrian. I guess you could make a case that it sort of was the beginning of, to say the beginning of the end is a bit melodramatic, but I think you know what I mean.
Thundercats was one of the first cartoons to introduce anime into the market properly, as its animation was completed in Japan. This preceded the way for cartoons like Dragon Ball Z to be introduced on Cartoon Network. Along with the animation and action sequences, the show was also known for its over-the-top, cheesy dialogue. But was this a negative aspect?
I don't know about now. I think it seems nostalgic to people, but at the time, you have to remember the time it was in. And Thundercats was created in the beginning, in part because there was a big controversy in this country back in the early 80s about children's content on television. Some women started a group that began protesting the television networks and the sponsors of animated series on TV because they felt they were too violent and contained, you know, some violence in some language, maybe, I think, mostly the violence that they didn't feel was appropriate for small children to be getting in large doses on these cartoon shows. I don't know this for a fact, but I really believe that Rankin Bass had that in mind when they created Thundercats to sort of overcome that. And I think they purposefully created a cartoon series that was, quote, a little cheesy, a little goody-goody, you know, to kind of overcompensate for the other shows that were mean-spirited and violent. So I think that's why sometimes you'll hear dialogue that's, as you say, a little cheesy, a little, if I take your meaning correctly, a little, we call it goody-goody, you know, nicey-nice. And I think that was intentionally a part of the show to make this a show that you wouldn't have to worry about your kids watching, you know.
Kimberly Morris wrote many episodes for the cartoon series. She also had a role as development consultant. But what exactly does this entail?
It sounds very grand, but like most things, it sounds very grand. It's really just putting your butt in the chair and thinking. And when you're doing something like a Thundercats or a Silverhawks, you've got bad guys and you've got good guys, and you've got to come up with situations and goals that are going to sustain all of these characters through 65 episodes. And the basic question is, what do they want? Why are they there? Why are they trying to destroy one another? What's the ultimate goal? And yeah, you can say, world, you know, I want to own the world. But why? What are you going to do with it once you've got it? That's a lot of grass to mow. So you've got to figure out always what's motivating the characters. And the actual process is usually they pay you some money and you go to a couple of meetings, or maybe you go to lunch, or maybe you just go and sit in your office and come up, just write down all of your thoughts on the topic and hand them in, and then the head writer is going to go through all that material and piece it together and hopefully come up with a strong enough proposal to take you through another 65 episodes.
Kimberly also wrote an unproduced script called Goodbye Jaga. This episode would have featured Lion-O finally saying goodbye to Jaga, his spiritual mentor, as he finally returns to the spirit world, and Lion-O finally comes into his own as a man. But the episode was never made. I asked Kimberly about the circumstances.
I wrote the script, turned it in, was paid for it, and then received a phone call quite a bit later that was quite apologetic, but they decided they didn't want to use that script. They were going to use another script in the series because I think that essentially what I had done was given Lion-O a last hurdle, at which point Jaga would absent himself as a mentor. And I think they decided they really wanted to keep the character or the possibility of bringing the character back in case they ever did another series.
After 130 episodes, the show came to an end in 1989. But something incredible happened. Because of its transmission several years after the episodes were produced, the show still gained an audience of both children and adults. ThundercatsLair.org is one of the major websites that pays homage to the show and features an extensive encyclopedia on everything about it.
I was one of the founder members. There were, I think it was about six of us who actually started that site up together. For many years, I mean, there have been some fantastic Thundercat sites out there, and I'm very privileged to have some friends who've actually put Thundercat sites together. And we wanted to create something that would be kind of complementary to those, and it was actually born out of a conversation we had on the forums of a website, He-Man.org. Officially, it's a website about He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, which was another cartoon and toy line 1980s, but it has like an off-topic forum, if you like, an other forum where you talk about other stuff, and it tends to be something of a mecca for fans of animation and action figures and things like that in general, and comic books and stuff like that. And there was a conversation on there between several of us Thundercats fans, two guys both called Manny, my friend Neil and myself, another guy called Tim, who posts over there and on our forums as a voice guy. He's no longer on the Thundercats Lair team, but he was one of the founder members of the site. We were all enthusiastic because in the US, they just released Thundercats Season 1 Part 1, the very first Thundercats DVD box set. It just came from there. It just came from enthusiasm and passion for the show. I mean, I've been a fan literally all my life, and it just sprang up from there.
Since Thundercats was aired, it has grown in both popularity, strength by strength. Point in case, the controversial outtakes, released on the internet several years after the show ended. It features the voice actors, well, expressing themselves differently.
And keep your foot off that blasted samoflange!
What the f*** is a samoflange?
I have to do that again.
I should have known the Territor didn't mean us any harm when the Sword of Omens didn't obey me. And anyway, it was just plain stupid to assume it might be bad. Just what the f*** am I talking about?
Well, yeah, you must realize that in 1983, when we began recording these shows, and throughout the time, the few years we were recording them, there was no internet, or at least not to the extent there is now. You know, we would be recording, and something would strike us as funny, and somebody would say something funny, maybe a little off color, and we had no fear, no thought that anyone would ever hear them. Maybe back in those days, the recording engineers would sometimes keep those for themselves and play them at Christmas parties for their friends, you know. But there was no, at that time, as I say, no internet. You didn't have to worry that someday, 25 years from now, we didn't think, we didn't know, that the world could click on one and hear them, you know. And when they first appeared, my first thought was, oh, no, some little, you know, 8-year-old kid is going to be looking up Thundercats on the internet and come across those and listen to them, and it would, you know, it would upset them. That was my only thought, and I suppose that has happened, but I've never been the recipient of an email from an irate parent saying, how could you do that? You know, mostly it's the people who are grown up now who listen to us kids, and they think it's funny, you know. So, but at first I was a little upset that those things had made their way to the internet, but it was inevitable, you know.
So nearly 19 years after Thundercats ended, it finally happened after years of rumors. A movie was announced by Warner Brothers, wanting to revolutionize the large franchise to recreate the success that Transformers gained. The film is scheduled for release in summer of 2010, and a director has already been attached. Jerry O'Flaherty, who was art director of a successful video game, Gears of War. I asked Chris about his thoughts on the latest development.
I'm very pleased. I mean, when I very first heard that they were going to be making a Thundercats movie and also that it was going to be CGI animated, you know, in the style of things like The Incredibles and Shrek, my initial thought was, oh no, they're going to totally kill it, because, you know, I had visions of these sort of disproportionate cutesy little Thundercats leaping about all over the place, you know. Not that I have any issues with that. I mean, I think that style of animation and stuff works extremely well for the properties that it's been utilized for, but I think that, you know, something like Thundercats needs a more serious tone. But it does look as though the Thundercats movie, whilst being CGI animated, will have that serious tone, which is why, you know, they've got somebody on board as the director who's actually worked in the video game field, which uses a lot of that CGI animation, but in a very, very serious way. So I think it's looking good. I think if people are expecting it to be exactly like the 1980s Thundercats cartoon, I think those people are setting themselves up for a bit of a fall. there will be things that will change. There will probably be things that will be changed that I will go, oh my God, I can't believe they actually changed that. Oh no, this is awful. But so far, the early indications are that it's something that will be certainly considerate of the original source material and stuff, and that's got to be a good thing.
ThundercatsLair.org began a petition to have Larry Kenney voice Lion-O for the film, as rumours circulated the original voice actors were not being used. The petition has so far seen as much as 500 signatures and is growing rapidly by the day. What did Larry make of this?
Yes, I know. I saw that. I was so pleased by that. In fact, I wrote to them and thanked them. That was such a wonderful thing that they started this petition. I think it has 500 signatures now that they're going to present to Warner Brothers, asking or insisting that that I'd be the voice of Lion on the movie. It gave me such a wonderful feeling. I don't know what to say. I just feel so proud of that.
So have you actually been contacted regarding a role in the film from Warner Brothers?
My agent has been contacted, and they are discussing it. There's been no actual offer yet, you know, but we think that they're considering using those of us who are still around. Unfortunately, Bob McFadden, who played Snarf, and Earl Hammond, who played Mumra, and other characters, have passed on. But they seem to be interested, at least, in using those of us who are original cast members in the movie.
I have been very pleased with the response that we've had with that. My friend Manny actually set that up on Thundercats Lair, and it's been fantastic. I mean, the whole online Thundercats community, not just at our site, but on many Thundercats websites and forums, message boards across the internet, have really pushed this petition, and it's fantastic to see.
Thundercats has also featured heavily in pop culture. An example is hit television show Family Guy, creating a joke for its straight-to-DVD movie release, Stewie Griffin Adventures. Both Lynn Lipton and Larry Kenney reprised their roles as Chitara and Lion-O respectively for it.
My agent called me and said that the Family Guy people want to do a Lion-O bit in the Stewie Griffin's adventure, something like that. And I was not that familiar with the show, and I said, let me watch the show a couple of episodes. And when I watched the show, I thought, oh, no, I can't do Lion-O for this show, because it's pretty wild, you know. And I wasn't going to do it because I'm very protective of the heritage and the memories people have of Thundercats, and especially of Lion-O, naturally. And I didn't want to do anything that was, you know, going to be denigrate that fondness people have for the character. It was my son, actually, who at the time, he's 19 now, so I guess he was about 15 or 16. He talked me into it. He said, Dad, you have to understand that this is 25 years later, and Family Guy is, yeah, they use that, you know, they use off-color language and everything, but he said, it's a big hit, and he said, it's the show now that big stars are asking to be on. You've got to do it. I mean, you hear, you know, rock stars and big movie stars on that show. And he said, I said, all right, so let me look at the script, and I'll decide. Well, I got the script, and it was a little bit hairy, you know, but not, it wasn't terrible. You saw what it was, Lionel looking at guitar in the bathroom through the sort of moments. And I thought, well, it's cute, it's funny, you know, it's certainly nothing that ever would have been in Thundercats, but times have changed, and sure, why not? So, and I never got any negative reaction. Nobody ever wrote me and said, how could you do that, you know, so I guess we got away with it.
So, with the movie being made and the DVD box set finally being released, what legacy has Thundercats left?
It helps kids see that there's a good way to solve problems, you know, without violence, although there was, you know, the Thundercats got violent when they had to, you know, Mumra got too much out of line, but mostly it was working things out through truth, justice, honor, and loyalty. Just a sense of doing the right thing, I think. That's the gist I get of most people who write me and talk about why they liked the show, was that it was just, it made them feel good about themselves if they adhered to codes that Thundercats adhered to.
Someone's looking for something different, and they want to watch a show which has got good storylines, very easy to follow, and just overall is a fun concept and a fun genre. That's the way to look at it. It's a show that anyone can watch and pick up and enjoy with no problem.
The realization that you can actually have a show that marries sort of moral messages, as it were, with real action and adventure, and also incorporate those sort of lessons and stuff into an action adventure show in such a seamless way that you certainly, when you're a kid, and even to an extent when you're a bit older, you almost don't notice that they're there.
I'd like to thank all my guests, Kimberly Morris, Larry Kenny, Jeremy Graves, Chris, and the video game band Mega Driver for allowing their version of the Thundercats theme to be used. Thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen, and goodbye.